Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, do I have any real worshipers in the house? Come on, I said, do I have any real worshipers in the house? Come on, take about 30 seconds, even now, and begin to just open your mouth and worship him. Come on, only the real worshipers. Come on, open your mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kind Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning. Father, we honor your presence. We thank you for your spirit that we feel in this place. Hallelujah. Father, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise today. Father, we thank you for this special day in which we honor and celebrate this great man of God for 12 years of faithful ministry. We give you glory for that, Father. We thank you for his life. Thank you for his wife. We thank you for his entire family. We thank you for what this pastor has meant not only to Hopewell, but this entire community. Father, we thank you today for good leadership. We celebrate that and we honor that and we praise that. Father, we're so grateful for the worship that we have experienced thus far in this place. But now, kind Father, as we get ready now to enter into your word, we pray that you would breathe upon us afresh. We pray now that you would touch our hearts and our ears to be able to receive everything that you have in store for us today. Satan, we rebuke you even now in the name of the Lord Jesus. No plan or plot that you have shall prosper in God's house. We decree even now that God's word will go forth with clarity and understanding. Father, we are ready now to receive from you. We are ready for a move of God. Have your way in this place. Bread of heaven, feed us now till we want no more. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. Now come on, put those hands together. I want you to give God your best praise. Come on. Come on, give them your best praise. Hallelujah. And listen, while you're praising God, could you do me a favor, Hopewell? I need every member of Hopewell to do me this favor. I need you to stand on your feet, and I need you to go crazy for your senior pastor, the angel of this house. Can y'all go crazy for Pastor Christopher Swift? Come on, let's celebrate him. Come on, let's go crazy for him. We honor you today, man of God. We love you. And come on, while we're going crazy for him, we can't go crazy for him without going crazy for First Lady Swims. Come on, can we celebrate her? We honor you, woman of God. We love you. We celebrate you. And we just thank God for the entire Swims family today. We celebrate them today. And Hopewell, let me just tell you this. You may be seated, that what you are doing today, it is appropriate. It is in order. It's the right thing to do. I believe that you ought to take a Sunday, at least one Sunday out the year, to set aside to honor and to thank God for the leadership that God has given you through the spiritual gift of a pastor. And as a pastor, I can tell you, pastoring is not easy. And so when God gives you a pastor, and especially a good pastor, don't let nobody make you feel bad for honoring and celebrating and loving on your pastor. Look at somebody, tell them, I love my pastor. Come on, look behind you and say, I ain't playing with you. I love my pastor. It ain't nothing wrong with that. And so we celebrate you today, Pastor Swims. We honor you, man. You all have a great pastor. Not only is Pastor Swims a great preacher, teacher, great leader, but he cares for the people. I said he cares for the people. You cannot talk with him without realizing that he bleeds Hopewell. He bleeds Hopewell. He bleeds Carbondale. And so today is just a great day. And I'm just so honored and humbled that he allowed me to be here to help celebrate this day. I feel like family being here at Hopewell. It just feels like family. Y'all ought to just give me a room in the back somewhere. Amen. Let me just start coming in and out. I'm just so honored and happy to be here today. Listen, we greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we bring you greetings today from Faith Movers Church in University Park. We are so happy to be here. My wife, who is with our oldest daughter in D.C. for their school trip, she would be here if she could, but she definitely wanted me to send my congratulations to the Swim family. I know she's watching, and we just love your pastor and first lady, and so we honor them, we celebrate them, and I'm so glad to have some faith movers with me in the house today. Amen. I thank God for our facility manager at our church, Brother Linnell Banks. Thank God for him being with us today. And I'm also glad to have my executive assistant. She keeps me straight. Thank God for Miss Leah Smith for being with us today. And I'm also happy to have my musician who's been with me for a while, Brother Arion Tucker. Thank God for them. They drove up with us today. So I'm going to be all right. I got some faith movers with me, and it's going to be all good. Listen, as we celebrate our pastor, I know towards the end of service that you all are going to celebrate him in a tangible way by giving. And let me encourage you to do that. I know that you are a kind of church that has come prepared to honor your pastor through giving, but I was taught that you don't come to the King House without bearing gifts. So I want it to be a blessing to Pastor Swim today on behalf of myself, my wife, and the Faith Movers family. I want to present him with a $500 check. I wanted to present him with that, put it in his hand personally. Bless you, Lord God. Amen. We love him. We celebrate him. And we just wanted to do that to honor him. And 12 years, he deserves that. And then some. Amen. In Jesus' name. All right, come on, let's jump into the word of the Lord today. Pastor Smith, he knows me, so he knows what I want after service. He's already made reservation to the place I want to eat. So I got to hurry up and preach this word that God has given me. Come on, let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask you to stand one more time. If you stand again, it'll be because you want to, not because I asked you to. But I want to jump into this word that I believe God has given me. And I really believe that this is a very important word for somebody in this house. I want you really to lean into this word, and this is the kind of message, kind of prophetic word that I want to speak in your life, and I want you to receive it by faith. Look at somebody and tell them, you got to receive it by faith. Because I learned a long time ago that you will only receive at the level that you believe. And sometimes our receiving is not right because our believing is not right. Look at somebody, tell them, get your faith up, get your faith up. And so as I give this word today, the relevancy of this word is going to kind of be twofold. I really want to speak to you, Pastor Swims, and encourage you and to give a word that I believe God has spoken to me to give you. But then I want to speak to the church and to this entire house, especially for those that the enemy has been playing with you, trying to get you to quit, God trying to get you to tap out, trying to make you think that your life is over. Look at somebody and say, the devil is a lie. I really believe with all my heart this word is going to be for you. So let's jump right into it. My Bible is open in the Gospel of Luke chapter 7. I want you to join me there. The Gospel of Luke chapter 7. I want to begin reading at verse number 11 of the Gospel of Luke chapter 7. And I want to read this particular scripture out of the New Living Translation, the NLT, that is my translation of choice. The Gospel of Luke chapter 7. And I'll begin reading today at verse number 11. When you have it, holler back at your boy, I got it. Right, Luke chapter 7, verse 11, the NLT. Notice here now what the word of the Lord says. It says, soon afterward, Jesus went with his disciples to the village of Nain, and a large crowd followed him. A funeral procession was coming out as he approached the village gate. The young man who had died was a widow's only son, and a large crowd from the village was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. "Don't cry," he said. Then he walked over to the coffin and touched it, and the barrier stopped. "Young man," he said, "I tell you, get up." Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Great fear swept the crowd, and they praised God, saying, "A mighty prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people today." Verse 17, and the news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding countryside. I want to put key emphasis today on verse number 15. Notice the Bible says, then the dead boy sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Before you take your seat, do me a favor. I need you to touch about five people and repeat to them our topic for the day, and say it with a spiritual attitude. Just touch five people and tell them, you are not done yet. Come on. Come on, tell somebody that. You are not done yet. I don't care what the devil said. I don't care what your haters said. I don't care what your enemy said. You are not done yet. You may be seated this morning in the presence of the Lord. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm not done yet. That's what we're going to talk about today. You are not done yet. My brothers and sisters, it was Norman Cousins who said, death is not the greatest loss in life. The greatest loss is what dies inside us while we live. If I could Moserize that statement, I would simply say the only thing that is worse than dying is being alive but spiritually dead. You would even be surprised, even this morning, at the number of people who are living, who are breathing, who are walking and talking on the outside, but on the inside, they are spiritually dead. This is why one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is hidden in Acts chapter 26, verse 8, where the apostle Paul was telling his testimony to King Agrippa, and Paul says, why does it seem impossible to any of you that God can raise the dead? You see, I love that particular scripture because it lets me know that no matter what kind of dead situation I might find myself in, I serve a God who is able to raise me up. Look at somebody and tell him, he'll raise you up. And maybe that's a word for somebody today who has found themselves in a place where it seems dreadful, deplorable, and even dead at times. And perhaps the enemy, Satan himself, has been trying to convince you that your best days are behind you and you are done. Maybe the enemy being trying to convince you that you are done achieving, you are done building, you are done creating, you are done growing, you are done partnering, you are done strategizing, you are done rising. Perhaps the enemy has been trying to convince you that as it relates to your life, it is just simply over. And if that's you today, I believe with all of my heart that God sent me here to let you know that regardless of what the enemy been trying to tell you, I believe God sent me here to tell somebody, you are not done yet. Would you help me preach this morning and shake somebody and tell them, you are not done yet? And Pastor Sims, I think this is so important for you because perhaps even as you celebrate 12 years, the enemy has been trying perhaps to convince you, hey, you've made it to 12 years. The church is doing good. The church is in a good place. You can just go on cruise control and you can just relax. You don't have to seek to go to the next level. But Pastor, I've come to sound the alarm over your life. I've come to sound the alarm over this church to let you know that in spite of every accomplishment, in spite of every challenge, in spite of every hater, in spite of the devil himself, that you in this church, y'all have not seen your best days yet. God sent me to tell y'all that you are not done yet. For the Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you? The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them from them all. Weeping may, I wish I had some Bible readers, endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And I come to encourage somebody just one more time that you are not done. I'm going to say it till you get it. You are not done yet. Shake somebody one more time and say, you are not done yet. Who am I preaching to this morning? You are not done being a father. You are not done being a mother. You are not done being a CEO. You are not done being an employee. You are not done being a creative. You are not done being an influencer. You are not done being a visionary. You are not done being a mentor. You are not done being a member of Hopewell. You are not done being a pastor. Whatever God has called you to do, he sent me to tell you that you are not done yet. Somebody shout, I'm not done yet. And I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. Leave me alone. I hear what you're saying. Well, Pastor Moses, how can you keep telling me that I'm not done yet with so much surety? How can you say it with so much confidence that I am not done yet? Well, y'all, when I look at the word of God, y'all, it is here in Luke chapter 7 that I see a situation that appeared to be as if it was done. But because of the power of Jesus, what seemed done was not done. And Hopewell, it is here in Luke 7 verse 11 through verse 17 that the Bible gives us some reasons why we can have the confidence even in this season that we are not done yet. No matter how dead your situation may be, no matter how done the devil been trying to tell you, it is here in this text where it gives us some reasons why we can say we are not done yet. And for all my note takers, take some good notes, because according to this text in Luke 7, the first reason why we can say that I'm not done yet, number one is, here it goes, relief has arrived. Let the church say, relief has arrived. Notice how this text starts off in Luke chapter 7, verse 11. It describes to us a mother, catch it now, who was in a done situation. The Bible says in verse 12 that this mother was in a situation that she was a widow, which meant that she had lost her husband. Her husband had died, but it also says that not only had her husband died, but her only son had died, which meant not only did she lose her son, don't miss this, but she lost her support. And notice how deep this thing was, because understand, in the Bible days, it was not like today when somebody died, we wait a little bit, then rebury them. No, in the Bible days, they buried you the same day that you die. So literally her son could have died at 8 a.m. and now it's about 3 p.m. and they are literally having his funeral. So she's not only dealing with grief, but she's dealing with fresh grief. Then at the same time, y'all, with her son dying, now she has no financial support.
Because in the Bible days, women did not work like they work today. They depended on their husband or their sons to take care of them. But the Bible said her husband is already died, and her only son, the only thing that she had left to support her, that child is now dead. Here it goes. She was literally in a situation that she was going through so much that she just needed some relief. I wonder, have anybody ever been there before? Have you ever been going through so much that you just needed some relief? Seemed like your body was acting up, and the moment you thought you got your body right, then your money started going crazy. And it's like the moment you got your money in order, your kids start acting like a fool. Have you ever been in a situation in life that you felt so much pressure, you felt so much stress, that you just needed some relief? And maybe I'm preaching to somebody today. You look good and you smell good, but if the truth be told, you came in here today and you are in a situation where you just needed some relief. And you gotta be careful in situations like that, because it is in those type of situations that the enemy will come and try to play with your mind and try to make you think that you're done. There's no way out, that you'll never get out of what you going through. Don't miss it, y'all. The woman was in a terrible predicament, and the only thing that she had going for her, I'm starting to feel a little something now, was the fact, here it goes, that Jesus was headed her way. Oh, you missed your shot. I did all that work and got two amens. I said she was in a terrible predicament, but the only thing that she had going for her was that Jesus was headed her way. Would you bump somebody and tell them Jesus is headed your way? And y'all, watch how Luke paints the picture. I love the imagery of the text. Just don't read the text. Put yourself in the text. I love the imagery of the text, because notice verse 12. Verse 12 says that there was a funeral procession coming out as he, Jesus, was approaching the village gate. All right, you missed it. On one side, you have a funeral procession coming out of the gate, leaving the village of Nain. And on the other side, you got Jesus and a large crowd coming toward the village of Nain. All right, y'all slow, but you were waiting for. I said, on one side, you got a funeral with a large crowd, and they're leaving the village of Nain. And on the other side, you got Jesus with a large crowd, and they're coming toward the same village that the funeral is leaving. All right, let me try it this way. On one side, you got death, and on the other side, you got life. Because you do know Jesus said, I am the resurrection, the truth, and the life. You got life coming towards death. Look at somebody and say, something's got to give. And the Bible said that there was a collision that was about to take place, that life and death was about to collide. But you know what the shout is? Two things can't exist at the same time. Life and death can never be able to exist at the same time. You're either dead or you're alive. That's why anytime you feel dead, learn how to open up your mouth and speak life. Look at somebody and say, you got to speak life. And ain't it funny that sometimes in this world, things can be so bad that you can literally feel torn between life and death. You get up one morning and you feel good, but by the time the evening comes, it looks like death is pulling you and you feel like giving up. And somebody walked through these doors today and you was going back and forth, but the Lord sent me here to tell you that no matter how much the enemy had been trying to bring you in, God sent me to tell you that your relief has arrived. Oh, would you touch somebody and say, my relief has arrived? Because you do know resurrection will always trump death. And I don't care matter what you're going through, when Jesus shows up, something has to change. When Jesus shows up, no matter what you've been going through, it has to stop the moment it sees Jesus. And church, this is why I think it's so important that when we come to church, we got to make sure Jesus show up. This is why when you come to church, you can't be worried about what your neighbor got on. You can't be worried about what folk gonna say if I lift my hands. You can't be worried about somebody getting mad because you keep getting up sitting down. I ain't studying you. I'm trying to make sure Jesus show up because I'm going through too much hell. And if the truth be told, you ain't gonna pay my bills. You ain't gonna help my family. There's nothing you can do for me. So excuse me if I get too loud. Excuse me if I step on your feet. Excuse me if I knock over your hat. But I need Jesus to arrive, because if he shows up, he's going to get me out of everything that I'm in. And do I have 20 people up in here that can believe by faith that Jesus has arrived? Well, I need you to open your mouth for the next 10 seconds and give God praise like you know Jesus is here. Oh, come on, tell somebody, say, he's here, he's here, he's here. Ooh. Hey, Lord. I don't know who I came to preach to today, but the Lord told me to tell somebody that your relief has arrived. Look behind you and say, death can't have you. Come on, turn somebody else, say, death can't have you. Why? Because my relief has arrived. And oh well, Pastor Swims, I come to prophesy to you that whatever or whoever has been a burden to your life, whoever or whatever has been trying to stop what God is doing, God told me to tell you, you ain't got to worry about it from this day forward, because your relief, I wish somebody would believe that, your relief has arrived. Oh, look at somebody, say, it's about to get better. I said, tell somebody, it's about to get better. Not because I'm here, but because Jesus is here. I don't know who I'm talking to, but God sent me to tell somebody who can believe it, your relief has arrived. I'm talking about financial relief. I'm talking about relief from fake people. I'm talking about relief from negativity, relief from every hater, every enemy in your life. You are about to enter into a season of your best days. Why? Because you're not done yet. You're not dead yet. You're not finished yet. Why? Because Jesus has found you. Woo. That's why it's so important. You got to learn how to stay in his presence. That's why even when you leave here on Sunday, you got to learn how to stay in his presence. So you got to learn how to worship daily. You got to learn how to stay in your word daily. You got to pray every day. If somebody asks you, why are you doing all of that? I'm trying to stay in his presence. Because if I stay in his presence, the enemy can't convince me I'm done. If I can just stay in his presence, was ever trying to bring me down, he'll lift me up. If I can just stay in his presence. Look at somebody, say, stay in his presence. Texas, number one, text says, you're not done yet, number one, because relief has arrived. But secondly, catch it, you're not done yet, not only because relief has arrived, but number two, because restoration is available. Let the church say restoration is available. Because notice what happened, y'all. The Bible says, verse 13 now, that when Jesus finally came face to face with the funeral, I love it. The Bible said his heart was overflowed with compassion. Because you know why? Because Jesus cares. Would you tell somebody that? Say, Jesus cares. And y'all, sometimes the cure is in compassion. Oftentimes we would do more if we just cared more. You see, Jesus cared for this woman so much that he wanted to bless her life. So as a consequence, notice what happened. He restored her son. And watch how he did it. The Bible says, I love this part, that he touched the coffin. Now understand, now he did this, I believe, for two reasons. Number one, he touched the coffin, exegetically speaking, so that people could not accuse him of breaking the law and being unclean. Because according to Levitical law, you can touch a dead thing. And so he touches the coffin so they couldn't accuse him of breaking the law. But practically speaking, I believe he touched the coffin in order to show us the power of connection. Because catch it, Jesus is so powerful that Jesus did not have to touch the boy to restore him. He just touched something that the boy was connected to. And sometimes when the Lord really wants to restore you, but you too dead for him to touch you, he won't touch you, but he will touch somebody that you are connected to in order to help you get restored. And is there any honest people in the house that can testify that I didn't get restored because of me, but sometimes I got restored because of the people who I was connected to, who the Lord had his hands on? And that's why, Hopewell, you ought to go crazy for your pastor, because some of you can testify that I'm only here today not because the Lord touched me, but because I'm connected to somebody that the Lord got his hands on. Is there any real folk in here that can testify that I was half dead some Sundays, but I came up into Hopewell and God had his hands on my pastor and he spoke a word and it brought me back alive? I got some bougie folk up in here. Is there any real folk that can testify? I ain't always been saved, but I'm here today because my mama prayed for me. My daddy prayed for me. My big mama prayed for me. I had a pastor that covered me. This next shout ain't about you, but it's about the people who you are connected to, who the Lord got his hands on, that helped you get up. Come on, open up your mouth and give God praise for the connected people in your life. Woo. Come on, testify. I'm glad I'm connected. Oh, that's the wrong neighbor. Find somebody who mean it. Tell somebody, I'm glad I'm connected. I'm glad I got somebody in my life who the Lord has his hands on, that when I was too dead for him to touch me, he touched them in order to get me up. All right. All right. All right. All right. Can I go farther? I said, can I go farther? I said, can I go farther? And notice what happened. Uh-oh, y'all ain't gonna like this. Notice what happened. The Bible said, oh, y'all ain't gonna like this. The Bible said, watch it now. He touches the coffin. All right? Not the boy, the coffin. But because the boy is connected to the coffin. He says, get up. And the Bible says, watch it. The boy gets up. And the Bible said, when he gets up, he start talking. Okay. Watch the flow of the text. He was dead. He got restored. And when he got restored, the first thing he did was open up his mouth. All right, y'all ain't there yet. He was dead. He got restored. And when he got restored, the Bible says the first thing he did was open up his mouth. Do you know what is bothering me about some of y'all? You knew you were dead, and you know the Lord got you up, but you're going to sit up in here and refuse to open up your mouth. I need about 50 people up in here that can testify. I don't have a right to remain silent. I was dead as dead could be, glory all shook. High five yourself and say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. And this is why sometimes in church, people don't understand your praise. This is why sometimes folk look at you funny, like you doing too much. But the problem is, they don't know how dead you were. They don't know how drunk you used to be. They don't know how high you used to be. They don't know how fast you used to be. But shake somebody and say, he brought me back alive. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm... The reason why God keeps some of us dead. Because God knows if I get you up, you won't open up your mouth. But man, I don't know about y'all. I made up in my mind that as soon as I get up, I'm going to act up. God, tell somebody, say, as soon as I get up, I'm going to act up. Matter of fact, I'm going to act up wherever I get up. Come on, look at somebody. Say, wherever I get up, it's going down. If he delivers me on my job, they gonna see a praise party. If he blesses me in the grocery store, they gonna see me shout down the aisle. Wherever he touches me, wherever he restores me, I'm gonna give him glory.
All right. Watch it. Sit down. I'm done. All right. I love it. Because watch it. What's happening next? This, oh God. Watch what happened next. My favorite part of the story. Bible says he gets up. He opens up his mouth. Then verse 15 says, my favorite part of the story. And Jesus gave him, all right, back to his mother. All right, he missed it. He was dead. He got restored. He opened up his mouth. And then Jesus gave him back to his mother. And Pastor Swims, I hear the Lord telling me to tell you that he's about to reintroduce you to that which you thought was dead. Some of you thought some stuff was dead. But the Lord said, because you opened up your mouth, because you didn't give up, that he's about to reintroduce you to that which you thought was dead. I'm talking about somebody had a vision, somebody had a dream that you thought was dead. But God said, it's not over yet. I'm about to reintroduce you to that very thing that you thought was over. Some of you were already in divorce court, but the Lord told me to tell you, he's about to reintroduce you to a spouse that you thought was dead. Would you shake somebody and say, it's not dead yet? Look at somebody and say, it's not over yet. He's about to reintroduce you. Woo. To that which you thought was dead. And I come to tell somebody today that in spite of how done you thought you were, look at me, you are not done yet. You know why? Because restoration is available. Oh, look at somebody and shout, it's available, it's available. I'm out of here, y'all are tired of me. Here it goes. Text says, you can say you're not done yet. Number one, because why? Relief has arrived. Number two, because restoration is available. Here's the last one. But you can say you're not done yet because reversal has been accomplished. Let the church say reversal has been accomplished. Because notice how the story ends, y'all. The Bible says that when the story first started, that the crowd was in anguish because the little boy had died.
But in verse 16, the Bible said they went from being in anguish to being in awe because of the power of God. In other words, here it goes. They went from panicking, the mother, what am I going to do? I lost my support. She went from panicking to praising. All right? They went from being sad to shouting. And I love it because not only did the boy open up his mouth, but the Bible say when the crowd saw him get up and get presented back to his mother, knowing what she was going through, knowing how bad it was for her, knowing that she got her son back, the Bible said that the crowd praised God too. See, you need folk in your circle who will not only shout for themselves, but they will shout for you when you get your breakthrough. See, y'all didn't say nothing right there, because as long as you get yours, you can shout. But I believe I got 30 people that can say, I ain't got to always shout for me, but sometimes I can shout for other people. Come on, can we take 10 seconds and open up our mouth, and let's not lift this praise for ourselves, but let's lift this praise for our homeboy. Let's lift this praise for our homegirl. Let's lift these praise for somebody that's going through, but the Lord is getting ready to bring them out. Open your mouth and give God glory.
I'm out of here. Notice. Jesus, he reversed the entire atmosphere, because when Jesus revives, he also reverses. He shifts the atmosphere. And I hear God saying to somebody, go ahead and start shouting now. Because the thing that you thought was dead is about to be redone. Because the Lord is about to reverse it. Come on, look at somebody and say, he's about to reverse it. And I need you to shout. And not only shout because he's going to reverse it, but I need you to shout in order to let the enemy know, you thought you killed me. You thought I was gone. You thought I was dead. But the Lord raised me up. See, it's in your scream. It's in your shout that the enemy knows he can't stop you, that you got the victory.
Reminds me of something I saw on television with Chicago Bulls, DeMar DeRozan. The Bulls was in a play-in game. And they were in a play-in game, and DeMar DeRozan had his daughter with him. And as the opposing team was at the free throw line trying to get the victory, every time they tried to shoot, his little daughter would scream. And it was her scream that distracted the enemy. That every time he would shoot, he would miss because of the power of her scream. This is why when you come to church, you can't be cute. This is why when you come to church, you can't be quiet. Because what you don't know is every time you scream, the enemy misses his shot. He's got a weapon to hit you. But every time you, every time you open your mouth, something happens. And I need somebody in Hopewell to let the devil know, you ain't gonna hit me this time. You ain't gonna kill me this time, because I'm gonna open my mouth and I'm gonna give God a shot.
I'm done. I'm out of here now. Bye-bye, Hopewell. I'm out of here now. But can I close by telling you how this story ends?
Notice that the story ends with everybody in the story not being done yet. It's amazing, because the boy was not done yet. Because remember, he was dead, but the Lord got him back up. But not only was the boy not done yet, but the mother was not done yet. Because remember, her only son was dead, and if he had died, she had no support. But when Jesus raised up his boy and presented the boy back to her, it represented the fact that she was not done yet. But you know what else? The coffin was not done yet. Because understand, if the coffin was buried with the boy, the coffin couldn't be used no more, because the boy would be in it, and the coffin days would be over. But when the Lord resurrected the boy, and when the boy got out the coffin, it meant the coffin wasn't done yet, because the coffin couldn't be used again. But there was one more person who was not And that was Jesus. Because you do know we in Luke chapter 7. And Jesus got some more work to do. He got some more miracles to give. He got some more teaching to do. He got some more healing to do. And then for the grand finale, he's going to go to Calvary's cross. They're going to nail him on that cross. And he's going to die. But look at somebody and say, he's not done yet. Because 3 days later, he's going to get up with all power in his hands. You see, the only thing I'm trying to tell you is that when you got a relationship with God, no matter how dead you are, no matter how done you are, when you got a relationship with God, you are not done yet. Would you shake somebody just one more time and say, neighbor, regardless of what you've been going through, regardless of what the enemy said, the Lord sent me to tell you that you are not done yet. And I come to speak over somebody's life that your best days are ahead of you. Pastor Swims, I speak this word over your life. You're not done yet. You're not done being a pastor. You're not done leading God's people. Matter of fact, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard the things that God has prepared for you. And hope well, if he's not done yet, it means you're not done yet. Just shake somebody and say, we are not done yet. Our best days are ahead of us. And so I encourage somebody to be not dismayed, whatever betide you, because God is about to get you back up. God is about to raise you up. And the only thing I ask is that when the Lord raise you up, don't be cute, don't be sadistic, but when the Lord raise you up, I just want you to act up. Would you look at somebody and say, I'm going to act up. I'm going to give God glory because I'm not done yet. There's more for me. God's got more. So I come to tell somebody, stop the funeral, stop the arrangements, and start praising because it's not over yet. God is with you. God got you. And if God be for you, can't nobody be against you. And if you're here this morning and you believe that you're not done yet, I need you to begin to open your mouth and to give God praise. Now, I hear what you're saying. Pastor Moses, I still feel dead. I still feel like it's done. Well, don't you wait till the battle is over, but go ahead and shout right now. Tell somebody, I gotta shout right now because I'm not done yet. Do you believe it? Do you receive it? Shout yes! Shout yeah! Shout yeah! Shout yeah! Ah! You're not done yet! Come on, somebody give God praise! I'm not done yet! My best days are ahead! Shout glory! Shout glory! 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 Ah, glory!
Hallelujah. Everybody standing. Everybody standing. Everybody standing. Everybody standing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody shout, I'm not done yet. You're not done yet. Oh, you're not done yet. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you're not done yet. The enemy had been trying to convince you that what you've been going through was going to be the end of you. But if you can believe it, if you can believe your relief has arrived, if you can believe that restoration is available, and if you can believe the Lord has already reversed it, are you hearing me today? You can leave here with the faith to know that I am not done yet. Woo. And so listen, my last assignment is I want to cover our leadership today. Just want to encourage you. First lady, I'm going to encourage you, Pastor. Y'all not done yet. God's got so much more for you. What's in front of you is going to be 7 times greater than what's behind you. Your best days are ahead of you. And on this pastoral anniversary, the last thing I want to do is I want to just cover them. If you don't mind, Pastor, I just want to pray for you and your wife and just cover you all in prayer. Just cover you all, a seal of covering that the enemy can't have them. Enemy can't have them. Come on, Hopewell. I said the enemy can't have them. He wants them because they're doing a great work. And anytime you're doing a great work, the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But we're going to put a prayer of covering over them this year, that no weapon formed against them is going to be able to prosper. Just because you anoint it don't mean sometimes you don't get weak. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And Hopewell, one of the greatest things you can do for your pastor, if you truly love him, if you truly believe you're connected to him, and if you know in your spirit that sometime you were able to get up, not because the Lord put his hands on you, but because the Lord had his hands on him. And because of your connection to him, it helped you to get. And if you believe that, and if you honor that, I need you to stretch your hands towards them. I just want to cover them as a brother in the faith and just cover them for this next year of ministry. The Lord would protect them and be with them. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we cover the Swims family now. We cover them right now, Father. We thank you for 12 years. We thank you for 12 years of faithful ministry. It's not always easy, but we thank you that they stood faithful through the ups, through the downs. We thank you, Lord, for this couple is a gift to this church, and we are so grateful for this gift. But now, God, we decree and declare that as they go into this next year of ministry, this 13th year, that the 13th year is going to be their best year. And so, Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over them. From the top of their head to the sole of their feet, we plead the blood of Jesus. And first and foremost, God, we cover their marriage. We cover, God, that you would keep them strong. We cover, God, that you would keep them in love. We decree that no weapon formed against their marriage is going to be able to prosper. What you have put together, no man, no woman shall be able to tear asunder. And so, God, we cover them. We pray that you will keep them as one. You will keep them glued together. And even as parents, we pray that you give them wisdom. You give them guidance. Father, let your Holy Spirit always lead them in all that they do. Father, we pray for their strength, and we pray for a spirit of refreshing to be upon their home, to be upon their marriage. We pray now that you would cover them. We pray now you will bless them. And now, God, we pray for First Lady, who stands by his side, a great leader in her own right. We pray that you would strengthen her, Father, that you would keep her head lifted, Father. Continue to keep her passionate about her family, passionate about you, God, passionate about doing ministry. We pray, Father, that she'll begin to walk into her best season, Father. She'll begin to, anything that's been a burden to her, we speak relief has arrived right now. We speak restoration right now to be over her life. Anything that was bad, it's reversed right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then,
Father, we cover Pastor Swims right now, the head of this church. We pray, Father, that you would be with him, Father. We pray that you would keep his ear to you, Father, that you would continue to speak to him. Father, we pray that you would give him fresh creativity, fresh innovation, God, to continue to lead this ministry into the next season of life. We pray, Father, that you would put people around him that's not going to be his pallbearers, but they'll be his armor bearers. We pray that you would put people around him that's going to lift him up, that's going to encourage him, that's going to strengthen him, that's going to be team players with chemistry that can help this ministry to continue to grow. God, I speak over Hopewell, every member who is a part of this church. I speak favor to be upon this ministry, Father. I speak growth to be a part of this ministry, Father. I speak every financial need is met right now, Father. I pray that Hopewell will make an even greater difference in the greater Carbondale community. Use this ministry right now for your glory, that souls will be saved, lives will be changed, the community will be better. And now, Father, we put this couple in your hands, the safest place for them to be, and we ask for you to be with them and keep them. Even now, we thank you that it's already done. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, everybody that love your pastor and first lady, I need you to open up your mouth. Give God your best praise. Come on. Come on. No. I said give God your best. You ain't praising. Come on. I said give God your best praise. Let's thank God for pastor and first lady.